I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I am just begging the NHL to give us the type of Stanley Cup final story that we got with the Washington Capitals last year. And now here we stand on the cusp of the NBA playoffs tipping off. And I'm looking for some fresh storylines as well. I don't know if that means a different champ. I use the word vulnerable when it comes to the Golden State Warriors. But still, they are going to be one of the toughest outs ever. They still have the same core personnel, some of the best players in the league, who know exactly what it takes to win over the long haul in the playoffs. This is where they hit their extra gear. And to have that top seed and have Oracle be the stadium, the arena where the rest of the West has to run through in its final couple months as their home makes them formidable. But still, I say the rest of the West, maybe the champ in the East, has a better shot at unseating the Warriors this year than last year.
Oracle has turned into Oracle.
Oh, it definitely will. And it will start on Saturday. Now, this is going to be curious for me. I got to tell you. I have my half marathon on Sunday, and so I'm definitely not going to be seeing the opener of the Spurs and the Nuggets. I'm going to have to catch that one on the flip side. That one doesn't start until 10:30 Eastern time, and I better be dead to the world by then because we have to be awake at 5:30 on Sunday morning to be able to get to our marathon site in time to cross the start line and but everything else that goes into it. Checking your bag at your locker, finding your corral, going to the porta potties three times because you've had so much water and coffee that you can't possibly run 13 miles without going to the bathroom again. And so I will not see even the start of Spurs Nuggets. I'll have to catch game two of that one, of course. That comes up on Saturday night. But the game before that, the Clippers at the Warriors, begins at 5 Bay Area time, but 8 o'clock Eastern time. Yeah, I might catch the first half. It's going to be a little dicey. I'm nervous about taking any type of melatonin, which is what I normally do on Saturday night so I can get a full 8 hours of sleep. But I don't know. That would mean I'd have to go to bed at 9 o'clock. That's so early for me. I don't even nap at 8:30 or 9 o'clock on most evenings during the week because there's so much going on. Yeah, that's I don't know how that's going to work. Anyway, a couple of those games on Saturday, not so much. However, I will be on my couch or in my chair. Usually my chair is where I do my work from home for all four games on Sunday. Ooh, except I really can't sit that long after running 13 miles because the body will be it'll be going into tight mode. Whew, I'm not looking forward to that pain. However, I did have my final training run on Wednesday, and it went pretty well. I resisted the urge to stretch it out. I haven't done anywhere near the type of training that I normally would do for a half marathon. Just it was so cold. The weather was so cold over the last couple months. And note to self, the next time I decide I'm going to do a spring half marathon, remember, every time you run in the spring, no matter which direction you run into the wind. I might have yelled at the wind a couple of times on Wednesday. A lot of good that it did. So all of your kind thoughts are appreciated for Sunday's half marathon. I actually won't be here either Sunday or Monday night. Sunday night, I'm going to be a couch potato. Well, Sunday night, I'm just going to be a vegetable. By the time I crawl into bed. I'll be a vegetable. And so I didn't think it would be smart for me to do a show after running a half marathon. But I do have company in town as well. And so I won't be here the first two nights of next week. But we're excited to talk about the Masters until then. And I certainly will be watching sports on Sunday when I'm not moving or doing anything else. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Love your impressions of the first few games of the Stanley Cup postseason. We're now underway, and what a scene it was at the Nassau Coliseum on Long Island as the Islanders hosted the Penguins, and they went into sudden death. You had three teams who were road teams taking the series openers. At the SAP Center in San Jose, you had Brent Burns with a wrist shot that went off the face of Joe Pavelski. And so the Sharks captain had to come back with a special plastic mask. You had all kinds of chippiness and spiciness and just some early extracurricular activity one game into the playoffs in a variety of places. So it was a lot of fun to see. And how about the Tampa Bay Lightning, who got punched in the mouth by the Columbus Blue Jackets? They build a 3-0 lead. And then they watch the Blue Jackets come all the way back and put three goals in net in the third period in Tampa to stun them with that series opening win. And I don't know, you need to be freaking out about Tampa yet. If you remember, the Blue Jackets took the first two games against the Capitals to start out last year's postseason. And we know how that ended. But that's definitely not how Tampa wanted to start. Here's the thing about being the best team in the regular season. You're the team that has all the pressure. For Tampa, tying the Red Wings for most wins in an NHL season, capturing the President's Trophy in February, they've got all the pressure. It'll be a dismal disappointment if they don't end up getting to the Stanley Cup final, if they don't end up windowing another cup. Somehow that came out the wrong way. There's always an added pressure for the President's Trophy winners. But I think in this case, because the pace they set all season long left the rest of the league in the dust, it's exorbitant pressure on Tampa. And to start out like this, it's not just that they lost, is that the Lightning had a 3-0 lead and looked like they were going to skate circles around the Blue Jackets. And then John Cooper's explanation may or may not tell you what you want to know, but they changed their game after they built a 3-0 lead.
Our mentality was, you know, we wanted to outscore them tonight. And instead of build the lead and then shut them down. And when you have the mentality of you want to outscore teams, these are things that can happen.
Getting loosey-goosey, John Cooper, the head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning. So they got punched in the mouth. Let's see how they respond. They certainly do have the firepower. The Blue Jackets have nothing to lose, though. And so we'll see how that rest of that series goes. When you're talking about the pressure in the NBA, of course, it's all on the Golden State Warriors. Even if they have fewer wins this year, even if they have lost a bunch of games at home, the fact is they're still the two-time defending champs. They've still got some of the most recognizable players on the planet. And it'll be all eyes on them. Who knows what happens in the offseason? But again, colossal disappointment if the Warriors, who did hang on for the top seed in the West, don't follow it up with a repeat trip to the NBA Finals. Now, once you get there, I don't know that it would be a stunner if they lost in the Finals, depending on who they face. The Milwaukee Bucks are stacked. They've got the best record in the NBA. They've been so good all year. That wouldn't surprise me if it ended up being top seed versus top seed. Oh gosh, the idea of having that many superstars, but specifically Kevin Durant, Giannis, Steph, Clay, even to have Boogie get to play in an NBA Finals would be really cool. That's an interesting storyline as well. Now, the Warriors finished up strong. They really did. And a good portion of their games were against playoff teams. Now, they lost at the Grizzlies in their season finale. But in this run, in which they've won 9 of their last 11 games, their losses were to non-playoff teams. But their wins included the Clippers, the Nuggets, the Hornets, the Pistons. The Pacers are in there as well. So those are playoff teams. I felt like they finished stronger after they stumbled, like going back, say, 2-3 weeks ago. It seemed like they had turned on that playoff mode. But there's a lot of pressure on them, too, simply because of their profile. It's the last year at Oracle. And because of the expectations. They're lofty. The higher you get, the harder you fall. Everybody wants to take you down when you're the champ. So it'll be interesting to see not only who their opponents are, if they can get by the Clippers, but who poses the biggest threat in the West. It's a different Western Conference this year. The Nuggets hang on for that 2 seed. Portland is a 3 seed. Houston has played some great basketball over the last month and a half. Even 2 months, their defense is a lot better. Could we end up getting a rematch between the Warriors and the Rockets after they pushed them to a 7th game a year ago? And in the East, crapshoot. They're just totally wide open. As good as the Bucks are, there's understandable reservations about teams like the Bucks, teams like the Raptors, the Sixers, even the Celtics, who've been to the Eastern Conference Finals recently a couple of times. Where's the championship material? There's skepticism because these teams haven't proved it. In fact, there have been colossal failures in the case of the Raptors. Can any of the newcomers make noise? Find it hard to believe that the Pacers can go far without a Victor Oladipo. They've slipped, of course, down to the 5 seed, not hosting in the first round. But man, the Nets are upstart. And they're playing with house money. There's a sports cliche that people get tired of, but I like it this time of the year. They've got absolutely no fear. And just to get back to the playoffs was huge for Brooklyn. The only thing I wish is that we got Detroit versus Toronto. So the East is wide open. The West looks different this year. I'm excited about the playoffs in both sports, hoops and hockey. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And cool poll that producer Chris put up after hearing one of our previous callers. Now, Gerald from Houston told us that he didn't think young players wanted to play alongside LeBron James. That at this point, the novelty's worn off. He's too old. He's also a control freak when it comes to his basketball. And playing in his stratosphere, as Kevin Durant pointed out earlier in the season, means that you are the planets that revolve around his sun. You don't get to be a star, or your star capacity is limited. But he's only there for 2 more years, at least right now. So if you're a young star in the NBA, an incoming star, do you want to play with LeBron James in LA? Now consider the LA component, because Los Angeles sells itself to young people. It does. Most guys, most young athletes will tell you Los Angeles is a destination. Southern California is a destination because to young men and young women too, it holds a certain appeal. So consider the big picture. It's the Lakers, an iconic franchise. It's Los Angeles. And then it's LeBron James. So if you're a young star in the NBA, would you want to play there? If you're Kawhi Leonard, would you play there? We know Anthony Davis was interested. He may not get the chance, not this offseason, but it's a good question. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. You can find us on Twitter or on our Facebook page as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I'm much more comfortable this year. I mean, a year ago, Steph was injured, and we struggled down the stretch. We couldn't guard anybody, and we were locked into the two seats, so we didn't have much to play for. But this year, I think it's been good for us to have to compete for the one seed.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Golden State Warriors weren't even the top seed in the West a year ago. That was the Houston Rockets, as Steve Kerr points out. But they are now a team that looks poised to go out there, and the experience factor makes them formidable. Do I think they're as good maybe as a year ago? It's debatable. They're vulnerable. The problem is when you get them in the postseason, A, you have to go through Oracle now no matter what, and B, they have the type of experience to draw on that no other team in the NBA does. Or more specifically, no other team in the postseason. Obviously, the Cavaliers franchise recently would have that kind of experience, though their roster's been gutted and they're nothing like what they were the last couple of years. And they're not in the playoffs anyway. So in terms of the teams in the playoffs that can draw on those late game situations, understanding exactly what it takes to win a 7-game series. The core has remained the same, adding Boogie Cousins, and at times he's been a huge factor in their wins down the stretch. And they've had enough time now to incorporate him. If they play defense the way that they're capable, they're still the best team in the West for sure. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. Aaron is in Fort Worth. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. Back-to-back nights on the show. Thanks for having me again.
Mm-hmm.
I got a couple topics in mind. I'll let you pick if you would like. Money or class? What do you think?
Well, that's kind of vague. Money
or... Yes, ma'am.
I'll go class. I don't care about money.
Class. So that's what I brought up yesterday, you know, just Dirk Nowitzki being a boring, national figure over his career. You said he's a winner, you know, he's a winner as in he scored a lot of points, but I think we could have won more with him, but that's a whole different subject. So my thoughts or my question is as far as class, because I think there's a lot to be said about class. As far as classy athletes, team-minded, things like that. So, in your opinion, who do you think in the top three sports, and we'll include golf, you know, with the Masters coming up, classiest player in those four sports? I'll hang up and...
Well, I don't know. How do you define class, Aaron? You and I may define class differently.
Good point. Team-minded, steers clear of controversy, lives their personal life outside of the media, somebody like Dirk Nowitzki.
So that's class if your personal life is kept private. I'm not really sure an athlete always has that choice. Sometimes it's just because of his star power that they turn out to be a public figure.
In 21 years with having Dirk Nowitzki in Dallas, I can't think of one thing of controversy that surrounded him.
Well, no, but that doesn't necessarily mean, I get what you're saying, but controversy doesn't always accompany a superstar having a public life. I mean, it depends on depends on the individual. But I think just sometimes by virtue of who these guys are and how much of a voracious appetite we as fans have for any access that we can get to them. I mean, Tom Brady is, now I know there's been the controversies, you know, on the field, and you can talk about those all you want. But I mean, Tom Brady, I don't think would prefer to live his private life out in public, but he doesn't really have a choice because he's married to a supermodel, and everywhere they go, they attract attention. So that just sometimes comes with it.
Yeah, I mean, even somebody like Brady, they're relatively a private person. You know, so yeah, that's a good point. I guess class is relative. So what would you define?
No, I was saying the privacy was relative. Class, I think of a guy like a Jonathan Toews, the Chicago Blackhawks. To me, he's one of the best leaders in sports. I like the way that he leads. I like the way that he exudes the experience, the wisdom, more of a quiet type of a leader, but certainly leads by example. So he's one that always comes to mind. Gosh, there are so many athletes that I think have a lot of class. Drew Brees would be one that I would talk about in the NFL. He's an incredible ambassador for his sport, does things the right way, has overcome a lot of obstacles, doesn't complain, though he will speak up when he feels like the team or players are being wronged, but is obviously committed to his family, has, you know, the type of values that many Americans can identify with, is committed to, you know, is committed to finishing his career there in New Orleans, loves the fan base. He's the type of guy that I think is a great ambassador. And Larry Fitzgerald, too. I would look at him and say he's the epitome of everything that's right with professional sports. He also does things the right way, though he will speak out when he feels like it's warranted. And because he doesn't do it very often and he speaks softer, we tend to lean in and listen. So those would be three guys that I could think of. I mean, I'm trying to think of an NBA player that's not Dirk. Of course, Dirk, I have already talked about a lot. Al Horford, I think, is a guy who exhibits a lot of class, and the way he handles himself, and also the toughness and the grit that he brings to the table. But the fact that he's, you know, he's a guy that doesn't necessarily get all the attention, but he keeps that locker room together. So for the Boston Celtics. So those are a few.
PGA.
In the PGA. It's interesting. Gosh, there's a lot of stories there and a lot of drama. I mean, am I allowed to go old school? Could you be any classier than Jack Nicklaus? I don't think you can.
Good thoughts. Thanks for entertaining me on the subject. Have a good evening.
Thanks, Aaron. That might have been cheap. I don't know if I'm allowed to say Jack Nicklaus. He was probably referring to somebody who is on the links right now. I don't know. It's an interesting question about golfers in class. I mean, there are probably many of them have class. Just we don't spend as much time talking about them when we're in major season. Of course, they come up more often. I have to think about that one for a second, especially when we're going to our majors. Maybe I can come up with a more current golfer. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and a lot of you weighing in now on our Facebook page about whether or not you think young stars in the NBA want to play with LeBron James. Some think one that will divide people left and right. Because you have the two schools of thought. He wins. He wins. He wins. So why wouldn't you want to play with LeBron James? Especially when you know he's toward the tail end of his career. Can you suck it up for a couple of years to be able to win? And to say, I played with one of the greatest of all time? Even if there's a monster ego. Even if he's a control freak. Even if he has to be in charge. Fact is, there's a lot that you can learn from being in that circle. And it's not going to be forever. So if it's me, I know that more than likely, unless there's some devastating injury, my career is going to outlast his as a young player. So why not? Why not take a couple of seasons? And then thinking about the Lakers part of things, I mean, Los Angeles is not my cup of tea. However, for a lot of young people, early 20s, mid, just your entire 20s decade, and even into your 30s, I think there is a special appeal for the lifestyle in Los Angeles for a lot of young athletes.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Oh, I want something just like this.
Pick and roll again. Here's Drummond. Hooks it up and in. Same play, same result. And it's 79-50. Pistons with their biggest lead. 20 points for Andre Drummond. That'll lead us to a timeout with 4:17 to go in a third. Luke Kennard up top. Comes back to the left elbow. Lost the ball. Chased it down. Seven to shoot. And a three. Lets her fly. And, oh, it's good. In and out and back in for three.
Luke, you're living right.
Luke, better buy a lotto ticket. 90-56. Shooting it with a rebound to Ish Smith. The right wing, he comes, sends it over to Luke Kennard, sets himself for an open three, and hits it. And the Pistons will be headed to the playoffs. How about that, Rick Mahorn?
Oh, yeah, this is, well, long time.
Yeah, sure is. Kadeem Allen hits a three. 115-89, and that'll be your final score here at Madison Square Garden. Pistons with the victory, 115-89.
It's a great first step for our organization and for our fans. You know, we have some well-deserved fans in the Piston history and in the area, and they're used to great basketball. And again, we're not where we want to be, but we're not where we were.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I appreciate that perspective from first-year head coach Dwayne Casey of the Pistons. We're not where we want to be, but we're not where we were. That's huge, and it is a big step as they claim the final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. In fact, the final playoff spot up for grabs in the whole NBA on the final night of the regular season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Mark Champion with the call on the Pistons Radio Network. So this time tomorrow, we'll ask you what's the NBA playoff series you're most looking forward to. But here's the playoff schedule for the weekend, if you haven't heard it yet.
Playoffs?
Yes, playoffs. It came out late last night. The Nets at the Sixers. That's your first series to tip off on Saturday afternoon, Philadelphia time. It'll be 11:30 a.m. Pacific time, followed by the Magic and the Raptors. So that's the 7-2 matchup. Brooklyn's a 6-3 matchup. Then the Clippers at the Warriors. So the 8-1 matchup in the Western Conference, and the Spurs and the Nuggets will be the 7-2. And that follows that doubleheader in the Western Conference. So it's the last game of the four on Saturday. Sunday begins with the Pacers at the Celtics. And bad news for the Boston Celtics on Wednesday. This was kind of a wait-and-see thing for the Celtics. But they found out that starting guard Marcus Smart, who's having a career year, has torn his left oblique and won't do any basketball activities for 4 weeks, at least. In fact, according to the Celtics, they issued a statement because their regular season was over on Tuesday. He could resume basketball activities in 4 to 6 weeks. So will not be playing against the Indiana Pacers, barring some miraculous recovery, and somehow he talks his way into it. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, that the Bucks win their opening series against the Pistons, well, then the Bucks could be waiting in the wings for the Celtics if they advance past Indiana. He might be out for that series as well. I mean, this is a guy who really does bring the smarts, the toughness, the defense, the intensity. He brings the fight. And so he had taken over that starting job going back to, say, 3-4 weeks into the season. Jaylen Brown was in the starting lineup. But remember, the Celtics struggled out of the gate big time. And Brad Stevens went with Marcus Smart. And it stayed that way the rest of the year. So Jaylen Brown will likely have to go back into the starting lineup. And so that's a bit of a jostling and it comes at an inopportune time, of course, right before the postseason begins. Brown was one of those guys that struggled to adjust when the Celtics brought back, or when they got back, Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward to start the year. But let's be honest, there was a lot of adjusting. Gordon Hayward's been adjusting too. Kyrie has had some times in which he's had to adjust. So Smart got hurt Sunday, and the clock is now ticking, but at least a month without basketball activities. So the Celtics lose one of their starters on the eve of the playoffs. All right, going back to Sunday's schedule, after Pacers Celtics, which is your 5-4 matchup, you go to the 6-3 in the West. That's the Thunder at the Blazers. That's followed by Pistons and Bucks on Sunday evening, the 6 o'clock Milwaukee start. And then the last game of the weekend is the Jazz and the Rockets. So last year, Houston was the 1 seed. This year, the 4 seed, hosting the 5 seed. So we'll have a lot to talk about come next week when you've got both the hoops and hockey playoffs down and dirty. Love this time of the year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're asking you on Twitter and Facebook. Well, on Twitter, you're taking the show poll. On Facebook, you're having a chance to weigh in, though some of you are just saying yes or no, which I like. Ask a yes-no question, get a yes-no answer. That was something I learned early on in my radio career. If you ask a yes-no question, well, sometimes your guest is going to say yes or no. I used to hear it all the time with Bob Stoops, the former Oklahoma football coach. He wasn't a fan of interviews, especially in group settings. He treated you like you had the plague. And so if you asked a yes-no question, he would sometimes say just yes or no at the podium. So the guys used to give me their questions to ask if I either didn't have a question or was already done asking a question, because Bob was a little kinder to females, which that's how he was raised. Actually, my mom and Bob Stoops went to rival high schools in Youngstown, Ohio. And so the families are intertwined. That's how Coach Stoops knew me, because I was from the area, or because my mom's side of the family was from the area. Anyway, we used to bond over stories of Northeast Ohio. But he was a little more polite, a little kinder, a little more generous with his answers when it was asked, when the questions were asked by women. Guys would ask me to ask questions so that they get longer, more extensive answers. And I was so early in my radio career that I was trying to be accommodating, but now I think, no way. Come on, get your own questions. Not my fault. Can't ask the right question.
Yes.
Yes or no. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. Let's see. This answer from Kenny, I appreciate. LeBron's never had a younger player sign to play with him. The younger guys he's had have been traded for or drafted. Well, true. But does that mean they didn't want to be traded there? You can't assume that just because they got traded there, it means they didn't want to go there. And I guess it's how we define younger, right? I mean, guys are on their rookie contracts for several years. Andy says no, younger players don't want to play with LeBron because he's a control freak. But Chris says, do they want to play with LeBron? Who wouldn't? The bigger question is, do they want to play for the Lakers right now? Well, the two things are, right now, they're completely connected. You can't separate one from the other. They're like conjoined twins.
I don't know. I mean, what you guys want me to turn my brain off because I have a huge basketball IQ?
No, please don't do that. I can't deal with that kind of scandal. No, thank you. LeBron was not there for the Lakers exit interviews on Wednesday because he had gone cross-country to be in Brooklyn for Dwayne Wade's final game. Justin on Facebook says, not anymore, meaning young players no longer want to play with LeBron. Knowing that if you're not up to his expectations, he'll have you shipped off, has players making their minds up already? Well, I don't know that that's true, Justin. I understand what you're saying. And there is probably some truth to the fact that, or truth to the idea that he has sway in LA. But think about it. They tried to get Anthony Davis, and the Pelicans weren't buying. And the NBA wasn't super thrilled with the kind of incestuous relationship there that was going on with Davis being repped by LeBron's business partner and LeBron and Rich Paul trying to force this deal through. Does Anthony Davis qualify as a young player? I think he should. Now, I get it. He's a superstar. But again, where would you cut off the young part, I guess? We're not talking about guys who are drafted age because they don't have a choice. But Davis just barely turned 26. He would still be a young player, in my opinion. He's almost a decade younger than LeBron. And he was interested in playing in Los Angeles, wanted to play with the Lakers. So if you have the freedom to choose, you're obviously going to be a few years older. You're not going to be 20, 21. Then it's draft stuff and you have nothing to do with it. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's work George in from Idaho. George, you got about 90 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wondered if you were keeping track of the home
yes.
run streak.
Whatever your question is, yes, I'm keeping track of it because that's my job. So go ahead.
Can you tell me, have they continued it as of last night against Kansas City?
Are you asking me whether or not the Seattle Mariners hit a home run? Is this like a quiz?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you, because I really don't know.
Oh, you don't know if they hit a home run. So you feel like it's easier to call the national radio host than it would be to just Google it on your phone?
I don't have that ability.
Oh, you do not have a smartphone?
No, I got a dumb phone.
Well, I mean, we all have dumb phones. But seriously, though, you don't have a... You don't have a phone that allows you to Google or look something up? Interesting. So you're asking me if they had a home run. The answer is yes, they did have a home run.
Thank you.
That's all you wanted to know?
I guess that's about it, really.
Oh, I feel like there have to be easier ways to find out. But it's good to talk to you, George.
Okay, thank you.
No, you're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
So you don't have a smartphone. Next best thing is to call the national radio host. I am happy to be of service. How about this? Here's the number. Here's the nerd alert. The Mariners and the 0-2 Cleveland Indians are the only teams going back more than a decade. In fact, going back to 1908 to homer in each of their first 14 games. So George wanted to know whether or not the Mariners continued their home run streak. They did. They got one last night, they beat the Royals. They didn't beat them senseless, but they beat them 6-5 in Kansas City. The Mariners now have 34 round trippers, which is tied with the 2000 St. Louis Cardinals for the most ever through 14 games. How about those baseball nerd alerts? Diamond nerd alerts, if you will. Thanks so much for tuning in. We've got hockey postseason on the brain. That's coming up next After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.